W 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Justin Finch. The debt ceiling deal, just one signature away from saving the country from a catastrophic financial default. President Biden says he will sign it as soon as possible after Senate lawmakers approved it late last night.
Leaders on both sides of the aisle admit they didn't get everything that they wanted in this deal, but the stakes were just simply too high and time was running out. This now suspends the debt limit for the next 2 years, putting off the next fight until after the presidential election.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Monday's default deadline was threatening Social Security checks, government payrolls, and other critical obligations. New scrutiny of former President Trump. The feds now investigating a recording where he appears to admit to keeping a classified document after leaving office. Last night, he told Fox News he believes he did everything right. The drone search continues this morning for three people who may still be in the rubble of a collapsed apartment building in Davenport, Iowa. This is ABC News. There is new evidence this morning after the death of a young girl who crossed the border from Mexico into the U.S. ABC's Jim Ryan has the details.
Customs and Border Protection has finished an internal investigation into the death of an 8-year-old Panamanian girl, finding that contractors working at a CBP station in South Texas failed to contact doctors when the child had a medical emergency. The probe found that medical professionals repeatedly denied the mother's request that her daughter be taken to a hospital, and the child later died.
The family had just made it into America after leaving Honduras. Wildfires in Canada proving stubborn to put out.
I spoke to one of our firefighters who said, you can stamp on an ember, it won't go out. You can stamp on it and step back and it reignites. You've got to apply water. It's so very, very dry.
Deputy Chief David Meldrum with Halifax Regional Fire and Emergency. Smoke from them triggering air quality warnings as far south as Virginia. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The teenager who was arrested in April carrying a gun outside of Waukesha North High School made his first court appearance this week. Now 18-year-old Ashel Ali, charged with second-degree recklessly endangering safety, bail-jumping felony, resisting an officer, and endangering safety by use of a dangerous weapon. At the time of his arrest, police say Ali was carrying a semi-automatic rifle with 30-round capacity magazine. He had a pillowcase over his head with the eyes cut out. The investigation continues after a car-van crash on a highway near Richland in Barron County earlier this week. A van carrying 10 people was struck by a car carrying 4 teenagers. 2 people were killed. 3 others were flown from the scene in critical condition. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
At Ho-Chunk Camping and Coaster, we're getting you ready for the hog days of summer. Giving away a brand new 2023 Harley-Davidson trike. Now through June 24th, go to Ho-Chunk Camping and Coaster. Earn 25 points on your rewards club card to be entered to win hourly drawings. $10 rewards plays up to 4 times a day. Come in June 24th, where we'll be giving away a 2023 Harley-Davidson trike, along with 5 cash consolation winners. Roar into summer at Ho-Chunk Camping and Coaster. It's Dad's turn to be celebrated at Ho-Chunk Camping and Coaster, Sunday, June 18th. Dad's receive $10 rewards play after earning 25 slot points up to 4 times. They also are eligible to win hourly drawings for gifts fit for all fathers. Bust out your boards and start warming up. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Coosa will be having a co-ed cornhole tournament July 8th. Registration is only $20 per team and now open at the Rewards Club booth. Be one of the 32 teams that receive $10 rewards play just for showing up. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Coosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Coosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, the skies are blue and it's Friday. Hard not to be doing well.
Yeah, man. There's something good to be said about both of those things. It really is, man. And
let me say,
Nathan?
I mean, we should say those good things.
So that's coming from the peanut gallery. It's Friday, and that means my co-host Sandy Williams is on the line. Hey, how you doing, Sandy?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm reasonably good. I am on the line rather than I don't want to be Typhoid Mary spreading a contagion there, so I stayed home.
You know. I have to tell you, man, as I was coming in this morning, there was heavy traffic backup. There was an accident around Barker Road. You don't realize it until you get caught up in that kind of traffic. And I know you've been in those kinds of situations. And so you're backed up. And so I'm doing what 99.9% of the other people are doing. There's nowhere to go, Sandy. It's a parking lot, and you're just being patient. And then there's this open lane all the way over to the right where emergency police and fire are supposed to use. And there are these nuts driving in those lanes. They can't wait, right? And I know, Sandy.
Right.
I know it's not my worry. It bothered me that these people thought, you know, their time is more important than anybody else's.
And well, the rules don't apply to them, right? That's what's happened in America. We've got this growing sort of legitimacy about people just taking matters into their own hands and, you know, deciding which rules are good, which ones are bad, applying the good ones and ignoring the bad ones.
I got to tell you, it bothered me, right? It bothered me to see these people thinking they're special. All of us.
Now, Earl, you didn't experience road rage, did you? You didn't get all the way there.
In my mind, I experienced road rage. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is easy.
Huh?
I find myself getting furious sometimes when I'm driving. Someone cuts me off and seems to endanger me. And I have the Wild Kingdom kind of fight or flight instant.
And And all I could think about was what the other people who were in the parking lot on 94 were thinking when these yahoos were driving in that lane. Man, where are they going? Well, we do know where they're going. They can't wait. What's happening with them is more important than anybody else. And you're right, Sandy. This is kind of new in our society, right?
I think it is. I mean, I think the last 8 years have found a growing number of people with this sort of this legitimacy laws, and they're good laws. I mean, part of the gun movement is people who are getting guns so that they can defend themselves when enforce bad laws against them, which suggests that they think they're in a position to judge whether the laws being enforced are good ones or bad ones.
You know, and all I could think about was, hey, where are the sheriffs? You know, can you take down the license plates number of the person who's passing in that lane? You know, they're moving too fast, so you couldn't. But that's the time to be a good Samaritan. And I don't know if it would matter anyway that people could say it didn't happen. But you just feel helpless, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is, of course, if this is the worst thing that happens to your own,
I know.
You're gonna be okay.
I know, man. I just let it bother me. And, yeah. You know, because when the first guy came by, and the worst thing about it, Sandy, is I said, well, okay, they're doing it and getting away with it. Why am I sitting here?
Yeah.
And the thought came.
Yeah, but you were.
Huh?
Yeah. Were you in a lane so you could access it?
Yeah, I could have did the exact same thing. I was right there. But I've been taught better. And yeah. I can't teach other people to do the right thing if I'm going to turn around and do the wrong thing, Sandy, right? At some point,
and you'd get arrested. You could get arrested for DWB.
What's that?
Driving while black.
And all those things are possible. But more than anything else, Sandy, what it made me do was just think about how many times people are rude now in the society, more so than they've been in the past. It's something that has changed in our nation, Sandy, and I think it's never going back to the way it was. Let's go to Dave from San Francisco. Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you? Your thoughts? Oh, you're in San Francisco, man. You must really be experiencing some changes.
Well, there's a little ebullience. I was lucky enough to get on C-SPAN a couple of minutes ago and ask the publisher of the National Review if they believe in the social contract. And boy, that guy got dumbfounded. He didn't want to admit that the old rich guys don't want to give anything to the people, and the social contract is the last thing they believe in. So I feel good.
So let me say this before you move further. We feel pretty good, Sandy and I, because here you are. You're in San Francisco. You just got off of C-SPAN, and you're listening to us. That's pretty good stuff, Sandy.
Yeah, we're worth it.
Well, absolutely. Well, so go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to play Paul Revere. I don't know if you've you know this guy, Harlan Crow, the guy that's buying the Supreme Court. And apparently it's not just Clarence Thomas that he's bought. Isn't he the guy that also paid off the gambling debts of one of the judges? He was the one that sponsored the Citizens United ruling. He paid.
Yes. We're aware of who he is. Yes.
Yeah. So Harlan Crow is on the board of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. I mean, can you imagine a creep like Harlan Crow having control of Monticello and the legacy of Thomas?
Well, Jefferson? Yeah, I think Harlan Crow from an people who know him and interpersonally, has some good qualities. And some of the things he's involved with are quite positive. But, you know, the best thing that Trammell Crowe ever did, I mean, that Harlan Coe ever did, was to be the son of Trammell Crowe. And that brought him lots and lots of money. And I guess he's proof of the of how it is that sort of ethics and a sense of ethics has eroded. So I'm sure he believes that he's doing nothing wrong. He does not believe that he's compromising these people, that he's and the people who are getting all this, all these benefits from him don't feel compromised. But of course they are. That's why we have disclosure requirements. That's why we have limitations on the receipt of these kind of gifts. This is why most judges are very careful about taking anything from anybody for fear that it would give the image of impropriety.
But Sandy, having heard what you just said, even judges understanding that, what do you say to judges understanding that and moving forward and taking those things anyway?
Well, I think that what's happened in Washington generally in the political range is that the ethical boundaries have been completely obscured. Everyone in Washington understands that a significant percentage of the people there are looking to feather their nest financially. They all feel like they're sacrificing to take these jobs as congressmen and senators. They're surrounded by wealthy people and they want to become part of that club. And the fact is that most of them succeed. It's unbelievable. They go to Washington, and Congress people or senators, and they emerge years later with a very big net worth. And so that doesn't happen without ethical boundaries being obscured and ignored. And the fact is that they ignore it amongst one another because they're all a part of it.
David?
Oh, yeah, thanks, Earl. Yeah, it's kind of like the glue that holds them together is dirty money. And it's funny because money, you know, the theory behind money is that it's supposed to reflect our reputation. And if you're a good talk show host, if you're a good political scientist, you'll have more money. But if you're a crook...
Hey, don't include talk show hosts. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, if you're a crook, though, and you just steal a whole passel of money, does that actually give you a reputation? Or are you just, because you have a bunch of numbers in an account or a fat wad, you basically gain reputation solely by a piece of paper? And so that's kind of the fakeness that humans have been going through for centuries. Just because somebody's got a handful of scratch, that doesn't mean that they have a good reputation. And a good reputation is what's going to get you far. And so it's kind of funny, you know, America's faced off against this for years, but, you know, we can outvote these crooks, but the people like Harlan Crowe, who basically have tons of stolen money, they basically pass it around. The guy is shameless about never disclosing what he's paid into. The guy's the biggest collector of Adolf Hitler memorabilia in America, and this rat is on the board of directors of Monticello. This guy is like deadly dangerous. We the people have the ability to boycott him, though.
So, David, I wish we had more time. We've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Right.
Just released from prison, in need of a job, but no one is hiring. Just Dane has been lifting people through these times of employment barriers for 50 years. And you can support this Madison nonprofit's important legacy and work. Join Civic Media by donating to Just Dane. Any amount will make a difference. Learn more and help now at justdane.org. That's justdane.org. Changing lives, changing the community. For 50 years, Just Dane.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
no matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 87. Northeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 58. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 85. Sunny skies and calm Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 84. 76. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 66.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, can you explain to me, Minnesota just joined the lottery on weed, legalizing marijuana. So we're surrounded by Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa is the only other, you know, state that's bordering us that does, and we have not, I mean, Sandy, we're still not allowing medical marijuana. What's wrong with us?
You know, this is it's the same thing that was wrong with us when we turned down that high speed train running from Chicago to Minneapolis through Madison. It was sort of a matter of ideology and statement of principle that was idiotic, that was costing the state lots of money, lots of jobs, and a huge positive investment. So, you know, marijuana, I suspect, it's as if states refuse to allow the sale of alcohol. I mean, there's plenty wrong with alcohol and the excessive use of alcohol, but states have long decided that that is sort of, you know, the tax on alcohol is a pretty substantial tax. Pretty substantial revenue source for the state, and particularly in a state like Wisconsin, where alcohol is, you know,
king.
I think we're one of the highest consumption states. Yeah, we're king alcohol. And so it's screwy, because when you legalize the sale of marijuana, and hopefully you set it up in a manner that keeps the price of marijuana low enough in the establishments that sell it legally, so that it supplants the illegal market for marijuana, you accomplish two things. You get rid of a criminal and you derive a lot of state revenue.
You know, Sandy, it's not like we would be the first ones and we would be a test state. There's almost all these other states, 25 states have already said yes. So there's already a template that shows how this works, and the resources and the financial resources that are associated with it, Sandy. And then the fact that you still won't allow medical marijuana, which they already know have all these positive you know, implications with, and yet we've got a state that steadfastly says, well, and Robin Voswell, we're not even going to consider that right now. Just, it just doesn't make any sense, Sandy.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. And it's a place where it's evident that, that political ideology and statements of political principle that are not favored by the majority, but are the position of a very strident minority, and have ended up capturing the political processes. More conservative states in the entire country, almost any way that you can measure us, you know, in terms of the rate at which we incarcerate people, this question of illegal or illegal use of marijuana. There's just in every fashion, we are a very conservative state that votes demonstrably very purple, right? So we've got a strident minority that controls stuff.
You know, Sandy, I'll even, you know, give in to that conservative side of things, right? Okay, so you're conservative, that's fine. But should that even interfere with things that make sense? Well, I'm a conservative, so I can't vote for legalizing marijuana. Well, there are other states, Sandy, and other conservative states that have said yes to it. I mean, there's something even more. Well, go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, the libertarian, which is probably one of the most strident forms of conservatism. Libertarians want government to be as small as possible and to have as little impact on human lives as possible. Libertarians have long taken the position that it should be legalized, right? That the limitation on it is an improper intrusion in government. So people like Rand Paul, undoubtedly, if they're true to their libertarianism, favor. So, but you know, it isn't even a bona fide conservative view held by all conservatives. It's just dogma. That's what it is. It's dogma.
Yeah, and you just wonder, the people can't force. 70% of the people in the state want to see marijuana legalized. And most of the people who want to see it legalized, Sandy, aren't saying it because they smoke pot themselves. They know it just makes sense. Economically, it makes sense. The fact that we keep criminalizing people because of marijuana, all those things just don't make sense anymore, Sandy.
Well, either we criminalize it or some localities have totally essentially decriminalized it, that the locality has any control. It's just it's a hodgepodge of regulations about something that many other states have reached a totally different conclusion about. So, yeah, it's looking towards in the mouth. I mean, it's, you know, there's lots of revenue for the state.
Yes.
From this. And I don't think they've shown that there's been any increase in drug problem issues associated with this legalization.
All right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The debt ceiling deal, just one signature away from saving the country from a catastrophic financial default. President Biden says he will sign it as soon as possible after Senate lawmakers approved it late last night.
Leaders on both sides of the aisle admit they didn't get everything that they wanted in this deal, but the stakes were just simply too high and time was running out. This now suspends the debt limit for the next 2 years, putting off the next fight until after the presidential election.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Monday's default deadline was threatening Social Security checks, government payrolls, and other critical obligations. New scrutiny of former President Trump. The feds now investigating a recording where he appears to admit to keeping a classified document after leaving office. Last night, he told Fox News he believes he did everything right. The drone search continues.
Thanks
this
for listening
morning
to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Five people are arrested and two injured, including a Green Bay police officer, after a fight broke out at a funeral home. Police were called to Blaney Funeral Home on Shawano Avenue shortly after 7 p.m. They arrived to find a 30-person melee in progress. Witnesses say the fight broke out after one person was asked to leave. Both injuries are considered non-life-threatening. The driver of a car that crashed into the Fox River has been identified. 39-year-old Randy Van Lannen of Green Bay was alone in the vehicle that plunged into the river near the Ray-Nitschke Bridge on May 6th. Van Lannen's cause of death has been ruled a drowning by the Brown County Medical Examiner. The crash is still being investigated by police, who await medical results. Van Lannen is survived by her husband and son. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Blue Jays 3-1. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole. Over on
if you are 45 and older, don't let but stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then, so let's get...
Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Earl?
Yes, sir.
Oh, couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear you guys for a second.
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It doesn't seem like we are the government right now because of money and politics, like Dave said, from San Francisco, because he's absolutely correct. All the things that we want to actually have passed and invested in our lives, seem to be the things that the other side seems to, I'll put it this way, the people that are bought off by either the corporation or the or by the lobbyist, don't allow it to pass. So, you got the Tavern League in Wisconsin, that is so powerful. But their day will come where they can no longer hold up marijuana legalization in the state of Wisconsin. Needless to say, I right now, as we're talking, am in Wisconsin, back here in Durand, Wisconsin, and I'm up on my mom's rain gutters right now cleaning them out. So I've been put back to work.
You're a good son.
I'm back here.
You're a good son.
It's all good. It's all good. But no,
Be careful. Be careful, Tom. I hope you have someone at the bottom of the ladder, and it's not your.
No, I don't want that, Sandy. I got this ladder from the next door neighbor. It's a Keller ladder. It's actually a pretty light ladder. I'm thinking about getting one of these when I get back to LA. They got it at Menards or somewhere like that. So, out here in the beautiful Wisconsin air, lots of bugs here. but like I said, Dave's got it right. This guy that was involved in Citizens United is the problem. I'll call him Mr. Nazi himself, with the paraphernalia that he has hanging up this thing. And you're right, Sandy. It's amazing. Some of the originators, the OG, like his father, may have been a good guy, but apparently that good guy did not teach his son to get out there and do some hard work. Instead, he just got the inheritance because he probably didn't have a inheritance tax and got all the money and out the dynasty. And, just like the Koch brothers and people like that, there's a lot of people that when they first originally started were actually doing it for altruistic reasons and did it because they knew that it was good for the whole, we the people. But these younger generations come up where they didn't have to, they just inherited their money and they didn't work for it at all. And now all they do is buy politicians. So the problem is not really completely, and you'll be shocked to hear this, but not completely the politician. It's completely money and politics. And, you have to have money in order to run a campaign nowadays because you've got, 20,000 commercials. I mean, that alone should be a campaign ad. Are you sick of seeing all these commercials? Well, let's get money out of politics. You won't see as many of these commercials every 2 seconds that you turn your TV on.
Well, Tom, people have grown so accustomed to money in politics now that we almost forgot what it was like to not have so much money in politics. And that wasn't so long ago.
No, exactly. It was just 20 years ago that Citizens United was actually, sorry, I got a bug in my mouth. That it was actually passed. But, you can go back to Blatty versus First National Bank and Buckley versus Vallejo when they made corporations people, when all of this started, in the first place under the Ronald Reagan Supreme Court and the Paul Amendment. And I would just urge all the people, really, again, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, why? Why is it that you don't believe in a return on investment? And why it is that you don't believe that we the people deserve the things that we put our money into rather than giving it to the military-industrial complex? Again, not the military-industrial complex. I just like to see why people keep thinking that they're not worth it. They pay the money in the taxes. Sandy says it all the time, $64,000, and the job's only paying $60,000. How is a person supposed to make it in this country?
Oh, okay, Tom, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I wanted to go to the continued U.S. job growth, 350 or so thousand more jobs added last month. The economy keeps defying, Sandy, what seems to be, you know, an improbable reality. The inflation is certainly subsiding, but the economy seems to be resilient. Housing market is down. What's going on?
Well, you know, we've had just an unusual bunch of circumstances. I think all this information, all this news about the impending recession, it's like Mark Twain's, the news of my death was exaggerated or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, I think that the recession is something that obviously could happen, and the sun, the moon, and the stars could line up still for the, you know, to end up with something that is nominally a recession. But in terms of technical measurements, you know, how many quarters in a row do you have declining GDP and whatever else they're going to look at to decide officially if there's a recession. But the fact is that we've had these pockets of of labor shortages ever since the pandemic, and they haven't gone away. You know, there's still very active hiring in a bunch of the service industry jobs, and many jobs related to construction, many jobs related to the servicing of buildings and homes. And so I just think that that we are not likely to experience a deep recession unless we have, you know, unless Mrs. O'Malley's cow kicks the lantern over in some fashion and starts the fire. You know, there needs to be a precipitating event that's, and it could be the commercial real estate market. There are things where shoes are going to fall that are going to make our economy give it more tests. But right now, my view is that we're sort of experiencing this soft landing. It's perilous. You know, perilous landings are scary.
You know, Sandy, do you think that part of this, the fact that, you know, the COVID situation and the impact that it had on the country is several years back now, and that, you know, one of the reasons that we're probably not or have not gone into recession is those bleak times a couple years back. And the fact that, you know, the economy had to take a hiatus for 2 years, that's part of the reason why we, you know, things are a little bit different.
Well, I think that plus the fact that the government, the stimulus acts, the various things the government did, they worked. Lots of people were actually earning money without working, essentially. So that carried the economy through what could otherwise have been a precipitating event that would have created a very troublesome recession. But it ended up being an event that was sort of subject to being handled by the government through stimulus payments that got us through. However, the stimulus payments allowed people to relocate in terms of their vocations, and that relocation of people out of the jobs they had has created lots of shortages now of workers, and it's that worker shortage in segments of the economy that is driving the economy upward and forward now. Plus, the fact the inflation was basically caused by, you know, I think they'll use a fancy word, exogenous, meaning that it's stuff, something that's outside of the economy itself. The war and what it did to the economy was something that was imposed on the economy and didn't come from within. And so, again, that's a different kind of a causal effect. And so far, the economy is coping.
So Sandy, is it safe to say that historians, you know, years and decades from now, will study this point in the history of this nation, and they will be able to better understand just what is going on now, more so than those of us who are living through it right now?
Well, that is the job of historians. That's what historians try to do. That's what they're supposed to do. Some things just get forgotten.
Right.
And so, you know, I think the question will be, how will historians deal with the social function, the sociocultural function of a Donald Trump, for instance, and the Trump movement? And how will they look at and examine the economy and how the government has related to the economy? A lot of that will have to do with whatever happens to our economy over the next 10 years. You know, will we, you know, do we lose world dollar status, world currency status for the dollar in the next 10 or 15 years? That will have a huge impact and will cause historians to look backwards now and begin to put together, connect the dots. You know, you can connect dots in retrospect. It's easier to do it than it is in the circumstance.
So, you know, Sandy, whether people want to give credit to the Biden regime or not, and I don't know if the credit goes to the Biden regime as much as it goes to the Federal Reserve, Sandy, it's kind of safe to say that they've kind of broken the back of inflation. I'm not saying they're clear of it, but they've certainly moved in the right direction because they brought it down from the 9% or 10% that it was under 4%. And it's still declining. Is it safe to say, you know, it was masterful what they did?
Again,
or is it too early?
You know, you have to look back. But it's just kind of too early because they did some massive things. This quantitative easing program in which they bought government securities to inject trillions of dollars into the economy. You know, this is all going to play out. And, you know, there are people who the sky is falling kind of people who look at the size of our debt, look at the overhang created by this quantitative easing program and worry about what could happen with it. So far, so good, you know, and so far it's being unwound, and it's being unwound successfully. Unwinding it is deflationary. We've been able to have some deflationary influences without recession. So like I said, this is a very perilous, but so far a safe landing. You know, we're landing in some airport that has a reputation for being the most dangerous airport in the world. But we're landing.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, I remember you constantly talking about and them talking about the soft landing. Soft landing referring to clearly recession and hurting a lot more people. It certainly didn't look like that was possible, but you know, they've done a masterful job of it thus far.
Yeah. I think that so far the policies, while they were experimental in some respects, quantitative easing was sort of invented, at the time of the 2008 financial recession.
All right. We've got to go to a break. The phone lines open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is with us. We'll be right back.
Water is one of nature's most beautiful and life-sustaining resources. Through no fault of their own, many Wisconsin utility customers are facing a shutoff to their water service. This leaves them without the one life-giving resource we all take for granted. And those hardest hit? Families on fixed incomes, the elderly, and our veterans. If you or someone you care about needs a hand up, your local Wisconsin Energy and emergency service providers are working together to keep you safely in your home and your water, heat, and power on. If you are in danger of losing your water service, call 1-833-426-9472. That's 833-H2O-WISC. Or visit us online at wisconsinwater.help. You may not ask for it, but We're here to help.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 87. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 58. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 85. Sunny skies and calm Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 84. 76. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 71.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, U.S. life expectancy problem is bigger than we ever thought, report finds. I don't know if many of us knew that the life expectancy in our country has been in major decline for decades now. The country's life expectancy problem gained renewed attention in recent years after seeing the largest drop since World War II during the COVID-19 pandemic. As U.S. life expectancy continues to plummet, a new report found that the country has been at a life expectancy disadvantage since the 1950s, and it has only gotten worse since then. The study published Thursday in the American Journal of Public Health also shows that more than 50 countries have surpassed the U.S. in life expectancy since the 1930s, and a handful of states may be partially responsible. Sandy, how can it possibly be that a nation with the best health care in the world now is in free fall with life expectancy in our country? In this country?
Well, that's because you have to unbundle that statement about the best healthcare in the world. We have the most sophisticated healthcare delivery system, or most sophisticated healthcare available. But to whom is it available? And how many people in our society access that healthcare? And how much is our healthcare related to wellness? And how much of it is related to solving symptoms? And I think that, and if you unbundle the data about the declining life expectancy, you'll find out that socioeconomic status has everything to do with that declining life expectancy, and that that socioeconomic status has a lot to do with people living in conditions that create bad wellness for them. There's more obesity amongst those who are poor. And obesity is a direct causal agent of diabetes and heart disease, two of the things that can rob you of the longevity in your life. So, you know, it's a little bit like the movies that Michael Moore did about evaluating the truth about the things that America says about itself as compared to what the actual truth is. And this is exactly one. You said what we all repeat, which is we have the very best healthcare system in the world. But the fact is that we might have the ability to provide the most sophisticated kinds of health service to people, but it's not readily available to people. There's a great deal of problem with access to healthcare. And the kind of healthcare we provide is as the result of the way we provide it, emergency rooms, basically for the poor, does not have anything to do with fostering wellness.
So, Sandy, go ahead.
No, so it's just that the way we're dealing with our healthcare, our broken healthcare system, is all lined up with incentives that basically will drive life expectancy in our country down, not up.
So perception is everything, because clearly most of us who did not see it from the perspective you just explained will say, hey, yes, we have the most up-to-date technology when it comes to those kinds of things, wealthiest nation on earth. You would automatically think that that would reflect in the health of the American people. But clearly you just pointed out that for those who can afford it, yes. And apparently it's not that way in other nations. The U.S. began seeing dramatic increases in life expectancy in the early 20th century, mainly due to public health advances, vaccines, and sanitation. The new report shows how that growth continued into the 50s, with U.S. life expectancy ranking the 12th highest in the world. However, that growth rate began declining in 1955, so that by 1968, the U.S. had fallen to 29th place. Sandy, it's almost unimaginable that now there are 50 other nations that do a better job of life expectancy than the United States of America. Is that something we should be worried about?
Well, of course. And what we ought to be reflecting on is our healthcare system, which is so seriously broken. And this is a symptom, and it should be a very glaring piece of evidence. It's like exhibit A of how broken our healthcare system is. It's like the result of our healthcare system is that we have the 50th lowest life expectancy in the world. So, wow,
that's alarming, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons we jumped so much early in the 20th century was the vaccinations and the elimination of death and childhood diseases. So, we far more people lived through childhood than used to, which had a real bump effect on life expectancy. But now we've got, because of our lack of wellness and the lack of incentives toward wellness, we have a nation that's characteristically obese and out of shape and has a poor diet.
You know, Sandy, it is amazing. You know, United Kingdom, Canada, you should be able to compare with our nation, and they do such a good job of it. And you can't say, I mean, the size of our nation, Sandy, is much smaller than many of these other nations, and they get it done. The fact that we only have 325 or 350 million people or so, we should be able to do a better job of this.
Yeah, we didn't get to 325 million overnight. This has been a steady growth. Our economy has grown with it, you know, and God knows we spend enough on healthcare. We spend something like 18% of our GDP on healthcare, which is far more than anybody else. And look at the results. You know, our healthcare system is so broken. We spend more than anybody, and our life expectancy is falling, and we rank in a dismal 50th.
Yeah, I mean that when I read this article, Sandy, I just could not imagine that of all the nations you would not expect us to be where we are. But you explained it so well. It's at a point where, you know, all these health discrepancies. I know people of color, high blood pressure, heart disease, all of those things that are baked into people of color and other things that happen in this country. And we can fix it, Sandy. It can be fixed. The question becomes whether or not there's a will to do it. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Always glad to have him here. We'll be right back.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls.
ABC News, I'm Justin.